It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
Thomas Caldwell on the line. You can hear him moaning and groaning on the other side. He's with the Free Expression Foundation. And Thomas has been on the program before. We're delighted to have him back.
Thomas, I can't believe this is even real. But it is.
I can't either, and I honestly don't see how that. we get a lot of interesting cases here, Janet, that I've never heard anything like that before. I don't know if that comes under the it's clown world is for real. I'll tell you, this is we live in very strange times.
And I mean, most people with a straight face.
Ladies on their edge. Most people are just on their edge of their seat over the Kyle Rittenhouse case today. So the balloon. I heard most of that. I don't know what to say about that.
What do you say other than you better know what your kids are being taught in school?
Right.
I'm not a fan of. This is a personal thing, not a matter of the Free Expression Foundation. I'm not a fan of much of what's being taught in schools or how it's being taught. I could talk about that for a couple of hours straight. Yeah.
Well, but
again, there
allowed.
Have been cases where people are, where parents have gone to PTA meetings. Now there's accusations that if they disagree with teachers as a form of domestic terrorism. You can have a full-time news service fueled just with stories about how our constitutional rights are being challenged and violated.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going out there. It's overwhelming some days, I'll tell you. The Kyle Rittenhouse case, now that's not really what we're into so much, except that I want to bring something up because we're making a public appearance this coming weekend. I'm sure everyone's going to be watching to see what happens up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But it's firearms related and Second Amendment related. And it's not generally known, but the people in the firearms industry who have been servicing it, who sell weapons and things like that, they've been a victim of cancel culture for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you've been, you know, anyone who's in the gun business, they can't get advertising in most places. They're social media, they're pariahs, and banks will even turn them down for services. And
mm-hmm.
These are law-abiding, tax-paying, legitimate, legal businesses, and. So we have a bit of a kindred spirit with these people. This coming weekend, in fact, I will be at Nation's Gun Show. The Free Expression Foundation will be at Nation's Gun Show in Chantilly, Virginia, at the Dulles Expo Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very large gathering. We're going to be there because, that's where a lot of people who tend to look for free speech these days are hanging out. And if anyone's listening who's going to be there, please come by and see us. We want to hear your stories. We want to talk to you about what we're doing. It's pretty important. And whatever happens in Kenosha, Wisconsin, there's a lot of victimization that is imposed on the people in the gun business that's got to be put to an end.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's three things going on right now that I'd like to just briefly cover for your listeners. The first off is a very important case here in Virginia that is very important for Virginia. And this is the one in Charlottesville. Have you been following that at all?
Some. And this goes back to the 2017 event where Donald Trump was accused of...
It's a civil case called Sines versus Kessler, and it should be front page news because this is a case where the organizers of that event are being accused in a civil case, not a criminal case, a civil case brought by individuals... that the whole event was put together as a conspiracy to cause violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I started reading into this, I was, looking at it objectively, but then I started to get angry because the more and more we've looked into this at the FEF, this is just a case of what we call lawfare. You've heard that term before?
I have.
Okay. This is you agree with the people who were going to... Charlottesville to have a rally and protest the removal of statues there, or if you agree with them or not, doesn't matter. You do have a right to express yourself in this country, and this is something that we really keep harping on people. There's no ands or ifs or buts. As long as you're not out there in planning to or intending to speak violence or whatever, you do have a right to peaceably assemble and protest. But in going through this, we're just finding all sorts of nasty things. First off, there was a report that was done on this case. You've heard of the Hafey report that came out? the one that was objective, the objective report on the whole Charlottesville incident?
No, and we're talking about the Unite the Right rally.
Yeah,
that
the
happened.
Unite the Right rally back in August of 2017.
No, I'm not familiar.
And a couple of people in the poor woman who was hit by
was
the car had a heart attack, if depending on what report you listen to. But the case is that this is a case where a massive amount of legal resources are being used to make a case to basically just destroy people who have different political views, as far as we can tell. Now, the case is going to be going on for a couple of more weeks at least, probably another four, given how much stuff is going on. It's not being covered at all in the press, which is really disturbing, since given how important it is. And there's so much to it, I'd rather, there's a limit to what I can go into here. Mm-hmm. But if there was a criminal act of planning, conspiring to cause physical harm or death, you would think that the conventional legal system would have gone after these people. They did not. If you go into this case here, this is just a case of people with a lot of resources going out and making something that really isn't there. And this is, if this is successful, the ramifications are horrifying, because anyone who just has a lot of resources who can drag you through the court system mm-hmm. and ruin you is going to win. And I would urge people to. What I'll be doing is, I think I've sent you or will be sending you a copy, a link to the report from the National Police Academy.
Okay.
Of what went on in Charlottesville, the objective report. There's also been a book that just came out on the topic. But there's just so much in... this is obviously just a case of attacking free speech, and it's not one that really should be allowed to stand. And that's it there.
Well, let me ask you this, because...
been following the case on your radio network there?
No, not really, and I'm just thinking about precedent being set. If this goes through, the precedent is set, and the template is, you know, cast on, like you said, how to destroy people, because we see it. One of the other stories you've been following is the story up in D.C. of those that were arrested on January 6th who are sitting there basically rotting in jail. If you can touch on that here for a few minutes.
Well, there's been some developments in that case as well. First off, last Thursday there was an incident at the D.C. lockup where what was described as a chemical attack, what apparently was pepper spray, was introduced into the ventilation system. There was somebody who refused to put on a mask, is the way the report was, and the guards pulled out a lot of pepper spray, went through the ventilation system, and many of the inmates needed medical attention. We didn't hear about that until Saturday, when reports came out, because someone had filed a lawsuit. That happened. It was just kept quiet until a lawsuit came up.
Okay.
And I'll send you a link to that as well. And this is pretty horrifying, that sort of stuff is now, it's being described as accidentally being introduced into the ventilation system. I don't know
how
massive
amounts
of pepper spray can accidentally be introduced into a ventilation system.
Yeah, exactly.
But people were locked in their cells. They couldn't breathe. It was a pretty nasty bit of work that went on there. There is a representative from Georgia named Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was able to get in to see some of these people. She said all the reports are true. It's horrifying. This is a gulag-like situation that's happening in our nation's capital. We have something going on in our nation's capital that's akin to what you'd read in a novel by Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not being covered in the mainstream media. And we wouldn't find out about some of this unless lawsuits. We were just going through the legal filings.
When do some of these cases actually kind of get to the court system? How long can they let them sit there without giving them their chance to, you know, speak their case?
Well, that's a good question. What they're trying to do is, when you lock someone up, especially someone who doesn't have a criminal record, who hasn't been in jail, and you lock them up for weeks and weeks and months, the strategy is to break them, to get them to confess to a lesser charge so they get out.
Right.
And some of these people are a lot more stubborn than that. But how long they can stay there, that's a question. The fact that all of these cases, they're talking about you're talking about trespassing charges.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have been sentenced, have been held this long for trespassing charges?
Right.
Now, and again, there's nobody really, there are members of Congress that are now getting in there. At the Free Expression Foundation, we would like to see organizations like Amnesty International and
right.
Human Rights Watch to get involved at this point.
Because
it's when we heard about the they're calling it a gas attack, the pepper spray incident.
Right.
We just we're trying to get some people in to see these people as well.
Sure.
It's not easy, especially
yep.
given all the COVID restrictions and things like that. Now there is something else that's tied to this.
Yeah, and
go to our website.
We only have a couple minutes here. We only have a couple minutes left, Thomas.
Yep.
Only got a couple minutes. I want you to mention the gentleman that has asked for asylum in another country.
I don't have his name in front of me. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is one gentleman who has asked for asylum in Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
He did get involved in an incident. I don't have his name in front of me. I'm sorry, but
no, that's okay.
He did ask for political asylum. He actually walked over the border and was taken into custody.
Mm-hmm.
He was allegedly involved in an incident involving pushing police. And his story is not really fully out there. He's a native of California.
Mm-hmm.
He was, that's where his family is. But once the U.S., he's asking for political asylum from the United States. And you can't expect the State Department to get involved and help him when
right.
he's overseas. So
sure.
the story is still being played out. Whether or not he's given political asylum is going to be another matter. Again, when you have an American going to a former Soviet country to seek political asylum,
yeah.
that's something that was unthinkable even a few years ago.
Oh, sure. Evan Newman is his name.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have had discussions about his case internally. But again, there's so many things going on right now, you can practically have a news service dedicated to them.
Sure. Well, look, mm-hmm. stay in touch with us because I'm curious on both these cases and what's going on up there in your neck of the woods, Northern Virginia. And then, of course, just mm-hmm. north of us in Charlottesville, that case, like I said, it's not getting any real airplay. Please stay in touch. If you'd like to help Thomas Caldwell, their organization, Free Expression Foundation, it's a nonprofit you can mm-hmm. give, and you can check their website out. Thomas, give us the website here real quick.
www.freeexpressionfoundation.org. We are a nonprofit. We are a tax-deductible organization. So instead of sending your money to Uncle Sam, you could send it to us, and it'll do a lot of good.
Amen.
And I'll be at Nation's Gun Show this coming weekend.
In Chantilly.
Please keep in touch. Follow our website. We do put relevant stories up there. A copy of the Friend of the Court brief we placed with the Supreme Court over the Anti-Riot Act of 1968. I didn't have a chance to talk about that. That's something the federal government is abusing.
Let's keep in touch and keep us up to speed on what's going on. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb on WIQO, part of the Virginia Talk Radio Network.